Hello. I usually say good morning. Well, it is morning here in Yerushalayim, Friday morning, Erev Parshas Korach. I want to thank those of you who sent feedback on last week's shmooze. I guess people did listen. This week's parsha, Parshas Korach's first pasuk in the parsha, Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kaas ben Levi v'dosim v'aviram b'nei Eliyov v'omrim pelas b'nei Reuven. Rashi brings down that Korach and his chevra, they brought to Moshe Rabbeinu a beggar that was completely shekul and tcheles, right? So, and the question to Moshe Rabbeinu was, how could it be that a beggar that's completely full of tcheles is not chayev in? How could it be that it's not chayev in tzitzis? Right, a regular beggar requires tcheles strings. And there's no reason why a beggar completely of tchilas should not require tzitzis. So the question is, it seems to be a very legitimate taina. When you look at the reason behind tchilas, right, the Gemara Menachos and Mem Gimel Amud Beis discusses that the reason for tchilas is to remind us of the Yam, right? Says the Gemara Menachos. Why is it that tcheles is used? What's unique about the color of tcheles? So the Gemara says, let's start with the beginning. The Bryce says, Tanya, what's special about tcheles? And says the Gemara, tcheles doma liyam, v'yam doma l'rikiyah, because tcheles is similar to the ocean, and the ocean is similar to the sky. V'rikiyah l'kisei hakavod. That the color of the Shemayim is similar to the color of the Sapir. And it says in Yechezkel, Kamari Evan Sapir Dmus Kisei, that the Kisei HaKavod looks like the Sapir. So the whole point of Tcheles anyway is to remind us of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if that's the point, so then if you have a complete beggar of Tcheles, that's for sure going to remind you of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of the Kisei HaKavod. So Rav Moshe Feinstein in Drash Moshe explains the following idea, that in the times of the Midbar, the emuna that they had was very, obviously very clear from Kriyas Yamsuf and from the Nisim of Mitzrayim and the Nisim of the Midbar, the Mon, and so on and so forth, and the downfall of Paro, but all those things were huge and very in front of their face, meaning there was no amelos, there was no working on emuna. And that's why, long-term, that wasn't going to work. And we saw the Nisyonos, right? If you look at all the Nisyonos that the Bnei Yisrael Nisu, as Hashem, right? They understood they were getting man. But who says there's going to be man in Eretz Yisrael? We don't know if we're going to have food in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, we saw Kadosh Baruch Hu destroy Paro and do Kriyas Yamsuf. But we believe that that was Hashem, but who says that Hashem is going to continue doing these miracles? It was just, as his words are, that they were the Nisim. Were what? One second. They were big. It wasn't believed by Havana believe. It was only what they saw. Whatever they saw, they were big things, but they didn't. It wasn't developed through working methodically and ingraining it into their psyche. That's not how it worked. They saw the huge miracles. They saw what Hashem could do, but it didn't involve any amelos. Amelos didn't become a part of them. Right? Whatever they saw, they believed in, but nothing further. And that's exactly why that they thought, the Korach and his chevra thought, that if you saw the whole beggar of tcheles, if you saw this whole entity, this whole remind you of the Shemayim, so that was enough to be mekayem of tcheles. That would remind you of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. But long term, that's not the way emunah is going to work. And we saw that the emunah in that way did not work in the Midbar on a consistent basis. You had the Chetim Meraglim, and you had the story with the Slav, and story after story where the Jewish people failed in that respect, even though they saw everything but Emunah Shlema, but they didn't see beyond the Emunah. That was only, okay, so Hashem could do this, Hashem could do that. But it wasn't a developed, it didn't develop Emunah in every aspect of life. And that's really what the Tcheles, having a strand of Tcheles is, and the Tcheles being Dome Liyam, Dome Domal Yam, Domal Rakia, right? So, and Rakia Domal Kisa Kavod, that's what that meant. That was the Emunah that's going to take, develop the Emunah step by step with Havana, with proper thought. That's what's really going to develop long term Emunah in the Jewish people, and not the big miracles that are open, that are so big and open that don't need any work upon them. So I think one of the lessons you can take out of this Vort is the idea of, that we spoke about last week, similar to the idea we spoke about last week, is that thinking about things, right? If everything is too open, yeah, I saw that great miracle once, that's amazing, I love Torah, I love this, I love that, but it's not worked on, it's not developed properly, so it's not going to help a person out. It's not going to help. A person has to be methodical, and a person has to have a thought process. We saw that last week, the Meraglim, as great as they were, they fell because of this bias that they had inside of them. And Korach this week, again, the same thing. He seems to be a very chashuv person, and he knows that Moshe Rabbeinu was tremendous. He knows Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took him out of Mitzrayim. He's the one who approached Paro. He did so much. Yet, because of his desire for kavod, so because of his bias for desire for kavod, he went ahead, and we know what happened to him in the end. His demise was obviously quite embarrassing and quite intense. But how could it be such a great person fall so much? And again, you see the idea that there was no thought. He was too engrossed and too blinded by his own biases, by his own desires for kavod. How could it be such a wise person did something so foolish? So I think it resonates with the same explanation we gave last week of the Meraglim. The Meraglim were not bad people. They weren't trying to rebel against Hashem, but they couldn't see straight. They pashut could not see straight. Why? Because they didn't think. Why are we going into Eretz Yisrael? Hashem, there's no reason why Hashem can't take care of every aspect of this conquest of coming into Eretz Yisrael for us and for the Jewish people. Korach should have said, if HaKadosh Baruch was taking care of all these things in the Midbar, and he appointed Moshe Rabbeinu, so obviously he's right. I shouldn't push. And we see that what happened? He pushed for kavod, right? And he was obliterated and it was swallowed up by the earth. You know, the Gemara said, the Mishnah says, right? Called Roy the Achar Kavod, Hakavod Boreach Mimenu. Right? Actually, I'm not sure if that's a mission of us. I believe it may be Gemara and Erevin. But, right, if you run after Kavod, the Kavod runs after you. I don't recall. But the point is that the more you push to get things that you're not supposed to get, the more you lose out. Right? And same thing the other way. A person tries to do good things for the right reasons, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower him with bracha. A person tries to do the wrong things, not only will he not succeed, he's going to end up losing tremendously. You saw it for one of my rabbis, that if you do the right thing, you don't lose. Do the right thing, you don't lose. And you see that the flip side is worse. It's not that if you do the wrong thing, you don't lose. If you do the wrong thing, you don't gain. No, if you do the wrong thing, you're going to lose eventually. That's the way it works. A person tries to push the envelope. A person tries to do bad things, not nice things, not appropriate things. He's going to end up, not only will he not be growing, but he's going to be regressing. So, and the chizuk I want to give everybody that's listening is that while you're working on yourself during the summer, which has its challenges with lack of structure and so on, you're not in the yeshiva per se, and a person can easily be distracted and forget about what he's doing, what he's here for, and perhaps could fall in many, many areas. A person has to remember, he has to think, unlike the Meraglim, unlike Korach, and he has to think more like the Tcheles. He has to think things through. Oh, he sees Tcheles. Oh, Tcheles reminds me of the Yam. Yam Dom Lurkiya. Everything's a thought process. Oh, what is this? Well, I need to go to Mincha now because I need to have to Kadosh Baruch Hu. I need to learn now because I don't want to do anything else. Person has to think. I shouldn't go out with these friends because it's going to lead to X. I should talk to this person because it's proper midos. A person should analyze and think through every aspect of his day and every aspect of his life now. During these times, especially because this is a time when you're most distracted and most your way of life is most tested. That being said, You know, last Sunday night they had a big, they called it a Kenes Chizuk here in Yerushalayim, in English. It's about the internet for Bokrim and Yeshivas that are here, that are still here, and for Avreichim. And the seriousness of what the internet is doing to Klal Yisrael. And how even big people, they said, however you describe you know, people who are involved in Torah, that are falling prey to the evils of the internet. So one of the things they said, that a person, I mean, they were talking to Avreichim. One of the Rabbanim said, Bokrim, what do Bokrim need the internet for? I'm saying, you're learning. But I understand where you come from. I understand you're in contact with people via Facebook or internet or email. And you're very into, you know, what's going on in the world of news, in the world of sports. Okay, so it's difficult for me to tell you that as a Bokhar you should not be using the internet at all. Although in this particular shmooze, the idea was, if you're a Bokhar, you don't need it for parnosis, what do you need it for? And if you're a person who needs it for parnosis, so the message they gave was, get a heter from a Rav, speak to a Rav about it, don't just do your own thing. And obviously, you get the proper filters and so on and so forth. So the only thing I'm saying to you is that a person should try as much as he can to curb his internet use when he doesn't have to, besides the bad stuff that's there. There's the other element of bitulzman. A person knows that he doesn't need to read every article in every single, you know, game. I don't even know what's going on in OKC Miami. I have no idea. I went to my one source who tells me about a half hour ago, my friend who gives me sports scores every morning if I'm interested, and he told me it gives him too much agav snefesh to talk about it. I guess that means that Miami's on its way. I don't know if it's over yet. The last thing I heard was that it was 1-1. I don't even know where we're holding at all. Mamish, Baruch Hashem. But a person has to curb his internet use. You know, obviously it's hard to break away, but that's number one. Number two, the person said, you know, the person probably should not use the internet alone, and so on. And they suggested at this thing something called Web Chaver, where you could basically, if I understand correctly, I don't know how it works exactly, but any website you visit gets sent to whoever you want it to be sent to. So at this convention, they said you can send it to your parents, you can send it to your spouse, you can send it to your Rebbe. So I'm offering, if anybody wants, thinks that route will help them, if the route of having me get emailed the websites you visit, I'll be more than happy to do that for you. Just email me at goldschmidt@toratraga.com. I'll be more than happy to help you in your fight to stay mechuzuk, stay strong. And with thinking through every aspect of life, you'll be zochem mitzvah Hashem to a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And the same way we say that a person who does the wrong things is going to suffer, even in this world, things aren't going to go necessarily so well as we saw from Korach. The same thing, I guess my bracha is the other way, that the more good you do, the more brachas you get from the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And I just want to close with something I saw. Rav Asher Arieli, who's the biggest maggid shir in the mirror, was asked a few weeks ago to give a sicha, to give a shmooze about the internet. It's written up. I have it on me. It's written up. It's about it's in like 7 pages long in Hebrew. And if anybody wants, email me and I'll scan it and I'll send it to you. But one point that I want to mention that he wrote over here, he said over from Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro Zatzal, who's actually Rosh Hashiva in Ber Yaakov. Rabbi Reichman learned there, I think for a number of years ago. And he heard over from his Rebbe, Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber was a Rosh Yeshiva during the times of the Maskilim, which is the Enlightenment, when people learned in Yeshiva and became not from it. Even though they were in Yeshiva, they became communists or reformists or whatever, conservative, not conservative at that time, but basically the Maskilim, they were enlightened. Basically, they're the type of people that learned in Yeshiva for intellectual reasons, and they were lured out of the observance part. And it was so strong that Rav Baruch Ber said, in his time, anybody who's a Ben Torah, who's learning in Yeshiva, believes Safek, without any doubt, he's Choshev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Now it was known, Rabbi Baruch Bera looked at Rabbi Akiva Eger as mamish, like untouchable. He was outstanding. Anybody who tried to answer Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas, he said there's no way that could be a teretz, because Rabbi Akiva Eger, you think you know more than Rabbi Akiva Eger? Rabbi Akiva Eger was Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was mamish tremendous. And we know his words are also measured. To say that any bachur who stays in yeshiva and stays from, observant, and stays on the path, is it like Rabbi Akiva Eger and Azal Kadosh Baruch Hu? He wasn't playing around. He wasn't joking. He wasn't joking. So, if that's what he said about the Maskilim in his days, all the more so in our days with the Yitzrei Hara that we have, and what's more, and everybody's saying that the goal of technology is so much greater, because Be'etzem, in the olden days, the distractions they had, communism and all these different isms that were trying to lure people out of yeshiva, they're outside. It would be very hard. You'd have to make a total revolution of yourself. You'd have to, a total rebellion of who you are in yeshiva, and jump out and follow the Yetzirah and go on the wrong path. But nowadays, a person can stay theoretically in yeshiva. He can sit in front of a Gemara and he can be out of it. So it's the danger is so much greater. So for sure, his words would apply today. So I think the chizuk is that a person who's stays stark, especially in the summertime when there's lack of structure, and this is really when the nisyonos, the greater nisyonos, occur. But on the other hand, it's the most potential for growth, because if a person really grows through the summer, he's able to develop a structure. When he has no structure, he'll be so much more successful during the zmanim. And as I said before, the more good you do, the more good HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless you. So Mir Hashem, everybody who's listening to this, and all of Kai Yisrael should stay B'nai Torah, stay strong, and you'll be in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a B'kiva Eger. Have a good Shabbos.